You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Lord, be with us today as we explore your word, both through my words and through our own hearts and our own thoughts. Guide us today and let us see your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Oh, sorry. Psalm.
Yep.
Beautiful as always. Thank you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Amen. Our text this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And I'm going to refer to the verses as I move along. But I do have a printout if anybody wants a copy of it somewhere over there.
Dana says.
The three things that really stood out for me in this chapter of John are to have a trust in God, God's glory, and faith, both personal and communal. As I've been sitting with these verses, my mind keeps going to how selfish God is. Now, just wait. Before y'all run from this place, just bear with me. Stick around. Listen to my thought process, please. Okay. My coworkers on Friday, when they were asking me what I was doing, and I said this, they had a real problem with that. You know, you work in an office of chaplains, all different faith traditions. They were like, woof. My mother had a problem with that. I have a problem with thinking that God is selfish. But in my world, in the hospital, I do sometimes wonder. So in my study of these verses and the commentaries that I was reading, I have been open to the what ifs, the possibilities. What is in this text? And as usual, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And spoiler alert, God's not selfish. So let's start with trusting in God. Hear these words from John 11, verses 1 through 6, and then again, verses 20 and 22. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. This is trust. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus could heal their brother, and they sent a message to him. And even when Jesus did not come and Lazarus died, they still trusted in Jesus and what he could do. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. This is a specific time period that had significance among first century Jews. The belief was that after 4 days, the spirit left and the person could no longer be resuscitated. But even knowing that 4 days had passed, Martha trusted that Jesus would be able to bring Lazarus back to life. I can identify with Martha. When I sit with a family in the hospital who are waiting for God's healing, I hear the same words. God, if you had only been here. Lord, the one that you love is sick. God, I know that you will give Jesus whatever Jesus asks for. But for many, the words are, God, where are you? There's a phrase which says, where the world places a period, God introduces a comma. Suffering does not have the last word. Mary and Martha placed a large period, or stone, across the cave where Lazarus was laid to rest and went home to sit Shiva. But God removed the period and placed a comma. Lazarus was resuscitated. Lazarus was restored to life. The raising of Lazarus was done to foreshadow Jesus being killed and resurrected a week later. It was also done to strengthen the faith of the disciples for the upcoming days and weeks. Jesus tells his disciples in verses 12 through 16. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he, Lazarus, has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. This act of raising Lazarus was for God's glory. Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus being ill would not lead to death, but was for God's glory, and so that the Son of God would be glorified through it. Later, as Martha, Mary, and Jesus stood outside the cave, Jesus reiterates that what is about to happen is for the glory of God. This is where I'm having my problem with God. That God allowed this community to go through an illness and death for God's glory makes me wonder. I've had a few patients who have been resuscitated. There is an unease in their soul when they are finally able to speak. Their loved ones are saying, be happy, look, you're alive. But the patient does not look happy. There's an unrest within them. One woman did not have an experience of light and loved ones. It was actually Satan who greeted her, lied to her that no one cared that she was dying. No one was gonna miss her. She might as well just give up. No big deal, just give up. Nobody's gonna care that you're, look at your family, they don't care at all. This woman was a fairly new Christian and she recognized the lies. And she fought. But she had this unease. So I spoke with her a lot, and there was also another nurse who did a lot of work with patients with near-death experiences. And the two of us spent a lot of time with this patient. And when she finally was discharged, she was better, and she had a plan to move forward and to give glory to God. But But another woman wouldn't talk. She wouldn't make eye contact. Her family was cheering, but she was really quiet. I really wonder what she experienced. When I told the men at breakfast on Wednesday that I was preaching on Lazarus, they shared with me a story about a gentleman who lives here in Montgomery named Ed Lazarus. Believe it or not. Mr. Lazarus was in One World Trade Center on September 11th. As I read his story online, what stood out for me were the questions he was asking of himself and the universe. Why did I get out? What if I had stayed with my coworkers who chose not to go and they died? And so on. I wonder what Lazarus experienced. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the story is that Lazarus never smiled again. Other stories tell of how he had to leave Bethany because of the threat on his life, which you can read about in John 12, verses 9 through 11. God's glory is bigger than our stories. Our ways are not God's ways. As I read chapter 11, I kept questioning God. Are we just pawns on a great chessboard? Maybe not. Listen to these words from verse 45. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. More individuals became believers in Christ because of what happened to Lazarus. God's in our community. God is a God of community. And being part of this community, being part of God's community, is important to God, and it's important in our own personal faith journey. When events happen for God's glory, they build up the kingdom of heaven. Our triune God is a God of community. Jesus wept for his friends when he saw their sadness and also his own sadness. Remember, he loved this family. I look at you, the Blomberg community, and I know firsthand that this community cares for each other. Our own Mary and Martha group provides care and support to the members of the group and the greater church. Our prayer emails keep us informed and allow the community to come together in prayer. Our fifth Tuesday lunches to ship, the list goes on and on. I wonder if we did an accounting of what this community of faith does, both personally and communally, how surprised we might be. The Bible school song, This Little Light of Mine, is a great song. We do not hide our light under a bushel. We let it shine. Jesus did not raise Lazarus in a bubble. It was a very public display. And it forced the Pharisees to act out God's plan for salvation. The Pharisees' conspiracy to kill was God's conspiracy to save. Amen. Do we have any thoughts?